This is GQDN for Monday, October 20th, 2025. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/GQ25. By SwiftEnergy.gg. Go get those delicious, delicious drink mixes, including the new Questworthy. That's right. We changed it up. Rumors say that it's strawberry. So go check that out. SwiftEnergy.gg. Look up Questworthy to do that. And when you do, put in the promo code Quest. You get 25% off of your purchase. Buy patreon.com/thegroupquest and by stackup.org. In today's news, we have some Donkey Kong news. We got a little bit of Xbox news as well. And a streamer was doing some disputing things and stuff. Now, but we begin today with something that you might already know. There has been an outage on a lot of different games, websites, and apps. According to Eurogamer, it was the Amazon's AWS hosting service, in which right now they are still working on it, as of 2:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the Fortnite outage was confirmed on Twitter/X and the Roblox status website. Now, other games such as Clash Royale, Clash of Clans, and Power World have all been affected as well. And according to the health.awsamazon.com health status, right now, they're still looking at what is going on. So I'll give you from 10:03 to 11:22 Pacific time. 10:03. We continue to apply mitigation steps for network load balancer, health and recovering connectivity for most AWS services. Lambda is experiencing function invocation errors because an internal subsystem was impacted by the network load balance health checks. We are taking steps to recover this internal Lambda system for EC2 launch instant failures. We are in the process of validating a fix that will deploy the first AZ as soon as we have confidence we can do so safely. We will provide an update by 10:45 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So here's that update. Our mitigations to resolve launch failures for new EC2 instances are progressing, and the internal subsystems of EC2 are now showing early signs of recovering, and a few availability zones, AZs, in the US East 1 region. We're applying mitigations to the remaining AZs, which point to expect launch errors and network connectivity issues to subside. We provide an update by 11:30 a.m. PDT. So 11:22, our mitigations to resolve launch failures for new EC instances continue to progress, and we are seeing increased launches of new EC2 instances and decreasing network connectivity issues in the U.S. East 1 region. We're also experiencing significant improvements to Lambda invocation errors, especially when creating new execution environments, including Lambda at Edge invocations. We'll provide an update by 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, they are still working on it. And right now, we do not know what the full cause of it was, even though on the same site, they were saying that it was done in the U.S. Eastern region. And according to Eurogamer, it was an issue in North Virginia. So was it there? We shall see. Now, we go to TwitchCon. Oh, we knew it was going to get some news from here, but really? It was this? According to GameSpot.com, the streamer Emiru did dispute Twitch's account of assault, which was a response at TwitchCon. And that's where Emu did challenge Twitch, or Twitch's official response, following an assault at her TwitchCon meet and greet, calling its statement a blatant lie. The incident was caught on video, and it showed a man bypassing event barrels to approach Emiru, grabbing her face and attempt to kiss her before being shoved away by a security guard. And Twitch did claim in a statement that he was, quote, immediately removed and banned. Emiro did contest that response was delayed and ineffective, saying that the Twitch staff did fail to interview or check on her well-being afterward. In fact, Zach Boosie got up on Blue Sky and said, quote, someone assaulted Emiro at her meet and greet at TwitchCon. Security pushes the perpetrator away, but then turns back and allows the man to walk away. Emiro comes back shortly to continue meeting the fans. Well, she decided to get up on social media, up on X, and I'm going to paraphrase this, because she said, quote, hello everyone, I'm okay and thank you for all the kind messages. Sorry I cannot respond to them all. Yesterday, the man who assaulted me was allowed to cross multiple barriers at TwitchCon and even in front of other creators, meet and greet and to grab me in my face and try to kiss me. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to, but a lot of people have pointed out that it could have been a lot worse. I'm obviously shaken up by what happened, and it's not the first time I've dealt with something like this. But to tell you honestly, I'm a lot more hurt and upset by how Twitch handled it during and after the fact. Further quote, in Twitch's statement, they said that the guy was immediately caught and detained. I'm sorry, but that's a blatant lie. He was allowed to walk away from my meet and greet, and I didn't hear he was caught until hours after he attacked me. And it felt like this has only happened because of my manager pressing for it, not because TwitchCon staff presented through it was a big deal, or thought it was a big deal. Sorry. So that did happen at TwitchCon. But let's get over to Xbox, just for something different. Because, according to GameSpot.com, again, Xbox could be dropping hardware and exclusive games. Well, a former executive said that would be good for business. And that was Mike Ybarra, again. And he was saying that it would make sense for Microsoft if they did not push the Raw Galley X, opting for Windows instead. But he says it does make sense because Microsoft would right now is, quote, out of the hardware and exclusive games, end quote, business. So here's what Ybarra did say, quote, that includes the dedicated OS, which is essentially for any console device, ease of use, security, etc. They are a publisher who will embrace Windows. Most will just pirate all the games to the devices unless they use Steam. Why does Steam help piracy? Because it's a flawless experience with great return policy, end quote. But he also did say that Windows is, quote, far from a flawless experience. Now, he did go on to say that Microsoft is no longer making their own dedicated hardware could be good for business. But that's only if Microsoft can make really good games and put them up on Steam, PlayStation, and Nintendo. But he also said that that's a big if. Further quote, only a moron would continue to make console hardware when the games all go or will go to third party. To shift, they'd have to go back to exclusive, make great hardware at a loss, and strive to win the living room. That's not their strategy, which is fine. But for some reason, they just keep writing the middle, not being clear, doing more harm for no reason. End quote. So, is he right? You can let me know at Joe Brums. Now we go to Final Fantasy VII, Part 3. Because the co-director does think that Rebirth was, quote, longer than necessary, end quote. But they're working on the game to make Part 3 to feel more concise. So who was talking? That was the co-director, Noki Hamaguchi. And they did assure fans that the team was working on the highly anticipated final installment that is, quote, striking a balance, end quote, between the story and the pacing of the game. Hamaguchi was talking to Screen Rant, and he did reflect on the criticism of the series' pacing and the lengthy installments. And he asked if he agreed with the feedback in certain sections. of the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, because to some of the gamers it did feel pretty long. But he did disagree, saying, quote, "Regarding time management in certain sections, especially in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I honestly don't believe that they were longer than necessary. I feel like nowadays players have too much to do, too much to play, so they often feel the urge that something has been concluded quickly," end quote. Now, IGN did say that he was mindful of the criticism, saying, quote, "As we work on the conclusion to the trilogy, we are striking a balance on how the story arcs are told and spread out so as to ensure the game feels a bit more concise," end quote. But he also did say that he was inspired to become a developer after playing the 1994's Final Fantasy VII, or Final Fantasy VI, not VII, but VI. And he spoke of the other games that did provide some inspiration, including the Witcher series and Fable. And he does like the Ghost of Yoti at the moment. Quote, "I can't wait to get home to continue playing it," end quote. Now, he did say that Rebirth did not meet expectations, but he also said that the remake is doing well on both PC and PlayStation 5. And they did say that they heard the cries for the updates on Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 3, Kingdom Hearts 4, and some other things. So we shall see what happens with that. But you want to play games, huh? Esports Insider, yeah, we're going to the Esports Corner now, said that 2K's wants to win a World Series. And he was talking about Black Ops 7 and a Red Bull motivation. Well, he had an interview with Esports Insider about his motivations and thoughts on Black Ops 7. So they first went to Black Ops 7 for Call of Duty, and he gave his thoughts on the game. Quote, "I enjoyed the Black Ops 7 beta, to be honest. I like the wall jumping. It was very different because we've been boots on the ground recently in Call of Duty. Being able to bounce off the walls adds a bit of flavor to the gameplay. I'm looking forward to playing Black Ops 7 when it comes out," end quote. But that's not the only game that he's very excited for. He also wants to see a World at War remake, which is the fifth Call of Duty game, which was titled World at War. So here's what he said about that. Quote, "I want a remake of World at War. It brings back lots of memories from when zombies first came into play. We did have World War II, which was quite similar, but it wasn't a remake," end quote. Then he went back into Red Bull and how he got into esports. But he also said he wants to win a World Series. Quote, "I want to win a World Series. I'm the oldest player in the top 10 in Warzone. I don't know how many years I got left in me to compete. I know I can play the game, but it comes with other people trusting you. I just came into the third this year, so I'm making progress," end quote. Getting close, but he's running out of time. Speaking about that, if you got Donkey Kong Bonanza, well, you got some time to play this one. Oh boy. Because starting October 28th via My Nintendo News, Donkey Kong Bonanza will feature some in-game events on the Switch too. And that's for the players who did pay the DLC, DK Island and Emerald Rush. So if you're gonna do that, that's gonna come. And the first event is Chip Fever, which will take place on October 28th at 8 BST and will last until November 4th, words are hard, at 7:59 BST. So during that time, all of you can smash your way through the DK Island. That way you can collect some statues of Avant-Garde and Kong Bonanza. So go get it. This has been a Dawn Forge production. 2025, all rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for more gaming news. So until then, go play some video games, people.